Ben Isa Rochanan. Now I have a Tavis song of Shachar Shlita to begin this year.
In the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, we read that the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila told us three different things, and one of them was Asusiyot LaTorah. So obviously Rav Nosi elaborates on this theme, as well as the Midrashim, and they comment, Eizu Siyot Sheosus HaTorah Lidvareha, where do you find that the Torah itself made a Siyot, that we should pattern, call the Tikkun Rabbanon and came there right to Tikkun. We should pattern the Siyogim that we make, the Harkokas that we make with the Rabbanon. After the dinim deraisa, so the obvious Ram Nosim and the Midrashim gives several mishalim. So one mashal is regarding the Nazir. The Nazir is really forbidden. He's mekabel on himself Naziris because he doesn't want to haroyasofit bekil kula yazir atim menayan. Doesn't want to get involved in dili araisa. He wants to prohibit. He wants to stay away from drinking. But the Torah makes the gzeiris, the Torah makes the hakokin. Not only is he forbidden to drink the wine that he accepted upon himself, he's not even allowed to eat mechatzan and ratzak, he's not allowed to eat grapes. He's not going to get shikr from eating grapes. He's not allowed to eat the grape seeds, he's not allowed to eat the grape shells. So this is a siog she'osus ha-Torah lidvarecha. This is a siog deraisa. This is a siog deraisa, it's not a siog derabon. Then the other Ram Nosim gives another marshal. Ezu siog she'osus ha-Torah lidvarecha. The Torah prohibits us from Gilui Arayis, from Isha Nido. And then the Torah says, Elisha, the Nidos Tomasa, let's think of Ulagala Terrible. So the other Ram Nosim says, Yochel, the person may think to himself, he will kiss the Nido, he will hug the Nido, he'll do everything but actually violate the prohibition of Gilui Arayis itself, Isha Nido itself. So the Torah says, let's think of Ulagala Terrible, that even Kiruv Basa was also prohibited. This led the Rambam to understand that these prohibitions are all deraisa. Kiruv basa, derechiba, constitutes an isa deraisa. And this is the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra. It's assumed that this is an isa deraisa. The Ramban and the Sefer Mitzvah disagree. It thinks that all of these isurim of kiruv basa are only midirabbanan. What would be the difference halacha lamaisa? It's an isa. Is it either an isa deraisa or an isa derabbanan? What's the difference halacha lamaisa? Whether it's deraisa or derabbanan? The one difference will be whether there's Malchus or not. The Shulchan Aruch writes that there is Malchus. The Shulchan Aruch in Eben Ezra. Simcha follows the opinion of the Rav. No, this manager no one's giving any Malchus. So that Nafkamina is not relevant. The Nafkamina that's quoted in this section in Hilchus Nido in Yeriday, the second Chelik, is a Nafkamina for Yehorik Val Yavo, which comes up very rarely. And Nido itself, there is a Machlekes HaRishonim where the Nido is included in Arayis. The Rambam writes explicitly that Nido Bechlal HaArayisi. That arayis don't only include the area of relatives, forbidden relatives. Let's say a kohen is not permitted to marry a grusha, or a girl is not permitted to marry a mamzeret. That's not called gilui arayis. Not every isadi is called gilui arayis. Gilui arayis has an isadi which has an isad kares with it, noinish of kares with it. So the question is regarding nido, because nido is not a prohibited relative. It's an isad nido. The Nisa Nido, the Tesis is of the opinion, the Rabbi Natam on the first daf in Yibamis is of the opinion, and the Sefer Yosha like that Nido is not the Chlava Arayis, and he has Rayis in the Gemara. He claims he has Rayis in the Gemara to support this idea. The Ramam's opinion is that Nido the Chlava Arayis, the Ramam writes it explicitly several times. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef writes, the Feirish in Yeridaya, in Hilchas Nido, that he assumes, like the Ramam's opinion, that Nido would be a din of Yehorik Val Yavo. We assume Nido is not some Nido be of the Alba, like a claim with Yusha, and saw the Mamzeres. We assume that it's a real Easter of Arayis, in which case we say Yehorik Val Yavo. We only say Yehorik Val Yavo on Arayis. There's already Gilei Arayis in Shvichas Dama. So Gilei Arayis means Arayis, not some Yisa Diyah. A claim with Yusha, he saw the Mamzeres, we wouldn't say Yehorik Val Yavo. So the Shulchan Aruch, they say the pastors that you would say Yehorik Val Yavo. Now the Shach quotes the Beis Yosef who raises the question, what would you say regarding Kiruv Basar, not the actual Easter Nida itself. What about Kiruv Basar of a Nida? Let's say the husband is a doctor and he has to take his wife's pulse in order to see how she's feeling or something like that, and his wife happens to be a Nida, and it's a Shasa Takanas Nefoshi. So the Beis Yosef quotes the Tshuvas HaRamban. He says that you would not say Yehorik Val Yavo in such a case. If the wife is Mamsha Chayla Mitzukenes, you wouldn't say Yehorik Val Yavo. The Joseph thinks that perhaps this is only the Ramban Lashitos, so he thinks that Kiruv Basar is only prohibited in the Rabbanon. But if one would follow the opinion of the Rambam, who says that Kiruv Basar also constitutes an Ibud Deraita, like the simple reading of the Avisur Amnasi, as you talk, Shasas Atarli Dvarez, this is an example like the Nazir is not allowed to eat Chassan Vazak. That's a Pasuk of Chumash, that's an Ibud Deraita, that's a Siyog Deraita. So this is also a Siyog Deraita. Elisha Bina Kiruv Basar, Mastikavul Agalatel, it's also a Siyog Deraita. We should pattern all of our Siyogim after these two Siyogim Deraita that the Chumash has. So the Beis Yosef suggests that perhaps according to the Rambam, whose opinion is that Kiruv Basar would constitute an Issa Deraita, then you should say Yehorek Bal Yavar, even on Kiruv Basar, this is the topic about the Zrahu of Gilei Arayis. It's not Gilei Arayis Mamish, it's an Issa that's related to Gilei Arayis. This is a famous question in the Siman of Yehorek Bal Yavar, and it's in the Kufnan Zion, and there are two opinions there whether you say Yehorek Bal Yavar or not. So the Beis Yosef is Noita Lahachmer on this issue. The Shah quotes this Beis Yosef in Hilchos Nida, and he disagrees, and he says that the Beis Yosef left out one point. The Rambam only holds that this Isser of Kiruv Basar constitutes an Isser Deraita if the person does the Kiruv Basar Derechibo, if he's doing it in order to get sensual pleasure over here. But the husband is a doctor, he's taking care of his wife, and even if he's not a doctor, he's helping his wife walk, let's say the wife is about to have a baby. And she already started to stain. Dam already came out, so she's mamish and needed their eyes. So he has to hold her in order to help her walk to the taxi, in order to get to the hospital. So that's not derechibo. He's not having any hanoah over here. He's having hanoah. He's saving his wife's life. He's taking the wife to the hospital. So the shach is masig on the Beis Yosef. He says in such a case, the Rama would never apply his principle that this would be an Issur Kiruv Basar Deraita. So the actual prohibition of Nida itself is the Issur of the Issur Biyah. In addition to the actual Issur, the Issur, the Gufa Shal Issur, we have the prohibition of Kiruv Basar, which is a dispute whether it's an Issur Deraita and Issur Derabbanan. And even if one should assume like the Rama, which the Shulchan Aruch seems to assume like the Rama in Eben Ezra, that the Issur Kiruv Basar constitutes an Issur Deraita, this is only the Shah points out that the Kiruv Basar is done derechibo, if it's done in a way that the person wants to get hanor from. Now we have other prohibitions. We have harfakis that the Chachamim instituted in addition to the Issur Kiruv Basar. There are more harfakis where they're clearly only Issurim derabbanan. We have a din, which is usually assumed to be a din deraita. Some say that it's only a din rabbanon. The Gemara talks about the din of yichud. One is not permitted to be misyached with any one of the arayis. The Gemara seems to say the famous that this is an issa deraita. The pasuk pshat in the Gemara is that this is an issa deraita. And despite the fact that the Rambam's opinion is that ishtar nida is also gili arayis, the Gemara learns out from a pasuk in Shir Ashir, to the Bashar Shanim, that there's no issa yichud by ishtar nida. So apparently, in order to balance this off, if you have the nida is the same as bual eshesish, and by eshesish, someone else's wife is an issa yichud. By ishtar nida, there's no issa yichud, but it's also the same chaimah who isert. It's also gili arayis. It's also an issa karis. In order to balance it off, you have to have a heta yichud. It's going to be very difficult if you're going to have an issa yichud. Every month, a husband is going to have an issa yichud with his own wife. So if the Chachamim understood from the Pesukim that there's a heter yichud with ishtar nida for whatever reason, so in order to balance it off, they introduced more hakokis and more siyogim by ishtar nida than you have by other arayis. Moshe Ramesh Feinstein has a tshuva where he writes, if a boy takes a girl out on a date, they're not married yet, they're not even engaged, and even if they are engaged, they're not married yet, so let's say they go out on a date, so all of the prohibitions, all the hakokis don't apply. Many of the harkokas that were instituted by the Chachamim, the Rabbanim, the various Rabbanim that were instituted, don't apply. These are special harkokas that only apply when a couple is married already. They have a heter yichud, so in order to balance off with that heter yichud, so they instituted additional harkokas in order to prevent the husband from violating the Issur of Nida. So what are some of those harkokas that the Gemara has that the Mizigas HaKos is prohibited? That the wife is not permitted to give her husband a cup to drink. Or the Gemara says that also lahatia is hamito lefonah, to make the bed in the presence of the husband is also. If she's mamish making the bed, she's taking off the sheet and putting on a new sheet, mamish a whole major production that's permissible. But to make the bed, like a normal person does every day, just to make the bed, so that's considered derechibo, to make the bed in the presence of the husband, so that's not permissible. Not in the presence of the husband, it's permissible. Or has the Raglav, the Gemara says that's forbidden during the time of Nidusa. Or the Gemara has in Tzubis that during the time that Ishta Nida, the wife is not permitted to bring the food to the husband on the table. Let's say she's serving the food. She's not permitted to put the food on the table. So the Gemara says, how is he going to eat? He has to serve himself. The Gemara says it's permissible, she can drink. That's one suggestion, he should serve himself. Or the Gemara has, she can, let's say if the wife is a righty, normally she would serve the food by putting it with her right hand, but she should do Agdeshino and serve with the left hand. I don't know if it's a Shino, if the wife, let's say, brings in two plates, one on the right hand, one on the left hand, so that, I don't know if that's considered a Shino. She's carrying one on the right, she always carries one on the right hand, one on the left hand. You have a lot of people at the table, so they always carry in two plates at a time. The summer that would not be considered a shimini, but she always only carries one plate at a time. She carries it with the right hand. Now she carries with the left hand, that's a shimini. Or instead of putting the food directly in front of the husband, she puts it a little further and he won't be able to eat it unless he takes the plate by himself. So that means that she didn't really put the food in front of the husband. She put it slightly on the side and had it taken himself. These all appear in the Gemara. Or the Mishnah in the first parak of Masechta Shabbos says that the Pashup Shas in the Mishnah, a husband is not permitted to eat with his wife during the time that she's in Nida because of the concern that just to eat together may cause a fear of Hadad and may cause him to forget about the Zina, to forget about the fact that he's in Nida and violate the Yisur of Nida. So the Tosafot says you have to have a Heker. So what would constitute a Heker? The Tosafot says if you have a different tablecloth, the husband is eating his, they're both eating the same. Just like one is eating flesh, one is eating little things. So the Gemara says in Kol HaBasra that you have to have a heker, either a different tablecloth, but if they're friendly with each other, and with the concern that the one is eating flesh, they nibble part of what the other, so you don't even know each other. You have no shaitan with each other, so I'm not going to, even if we do know each other, not that friendly, then I'm going to nibble the other person's food, so then the whole thing doesn't apply. But if people are friendly with each other, and maybe one will nibble but the other one is eating, so you're not allowed to have one person eat flesh, one person eat milk, unless you have a heker. So the heker should either be that you have a separate tablecloth, or that you have a face of flower pots in the middle, or you have some kind of a clea in the middle that they're not going to use. You have, let's say, a glass, an extra glass. The wife has, the one person has one glass, I have another glass, and there's a third glass that nobody's using. You have a glass that they're not using, not that something they're going to use later on. Not that you have a salt shaker in the middle. The salt shaker they're going to use to use the salt. If you have something in between that serves as a heker. So whatever is considered a heker for the bas v'chala issue is considered a heker over here. The eating with ishtei nida, that it's necessary to have a heker. Gemara in the first parak in Masechet Shabbos tells a story about a young Talmid Chacham who died at a very young age. And his wife came to the Beis Medrash with his tefillin and she was crying and complaining, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this to her? Her husband was such a tzaddik and such a Talmid Chacham. What did he deserve that he died at such a young age? So they asked the wife, was he medaktik in Taras HaMashpacha? So she said, absolutely, he wouldn't touch her, he wouldn't look at her. One of the dinim of HaKadosh the Gemara has is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, also the Yisakil. The husband is not permitted to look at the Tarmis HaMachusim Shevugut, the parts of the body that are usually covered up because the Ma'aretaiva by normal man who has a Yetzirah for a woman, if you look at the Mekamah Samkushim Shibagufa, this will be Ma'aretaiva. Moshe Feinstein writes in the Sefer that even though the women, let's say there's a woman who's always medactic to cover her hair, even an hour, she always covers her hair all the time. So he thinks that that's not considered Mekamah Samkushim Shibagufa, the hair. Even when she's in need of the husband, she's not Mekamah to cover her hair an hour. But the other people around, of course, she should cover her hair. But let's say only the husband is there, so that's not considered the Talmud Talmud to the group. Or let's say many poskim are of the opinion, if it's the Shuvah quotes this issue, many are of the opinion that a wife during this man of Medusa is not permitted to sing, and the husband will listen to her sing. The Rambam even says to play the piano is also. The Rambam writes in the Shuvah, called the Isha, but goes on call playing music. I don't think we follow that, Rambam. If a woman plays the piano, we are makom. We don't consider that called the Isha, but to sing. Let's say the woman is going to sing, that would be a problem of Kol B'Yishe Erva. Unless one follows, let's say there's a problem Kol B'Yishe Erva, if a family wants to sing Zmiris together, says Zmiris HaTfilas, so how is a person permitted to sing Tfilas HaKadosh Baruch Hu if his wife or his daughters are singing at the same time? It's like davening Keneged HaErva, it's called B'Yishe Erva. So there is a kula that many rely on. Many parts of Europe they didn't rely on this kula, but in Western Europe they relied on the kula. That if they're singing Shirei Kodesh, So many Pesachim are of the opinion that you don't apply the problem of, you don't apply the principle of Kol B'Sheva because it's not going to be Moritavit, the singing is mirror. And others are of the opinion that if you have men and women singing together, then you say Kvei Kol Lo Mishtami, so that would also perhaps solve the problem of Kol B'Sheva. So the meaning in Germany was, based on the Gedolim and Tzaddikim, Rabbi Zvi Hildesheimer, Rabbi Hirsch, they were makel that if you have the combination of both factors together, the singing Shirei Kodesh and the singing Zirus, the men and the women are singing together, so then many were makel to say that in such a case you wouldn't say Kol B'Sheva. It's Bidi Eshreich, and when he came from Eastern Europe to Germany, he was surprised when he came to Hildesheimer Seminary to say the Shurim, and he was surprised to see that. He thought they were so frum, and they wore shaitlin and everything, and then all of a sudden the thing was mirrored together. They couldn't understand what's going on. What happened to the din of Kol B'Sheva? Then they told him that this is the pulit that was established by Rabbi Hirsch and Rabbi Azriel Hildesheimer, so he thought that maybe we should rely on that pulit. So if one relies on this pulit normally when the Ishtar Tahorah, so who had the Nami Menishtar Nida? It doesn't pose an additional problem just because Ishtar Nida. But let's say the wife is going to be singing alone. The wife will be singing alone. So then many Tosim are of the opinion that you say Kol B'Sheva, that the husband is not permitted to listen to his wife sing alone. Be made Medusa, that's like also the Sakhabim Thomas Amakusim Shibibifa. So we assume that this would be Ma'ura Taiva. So the Gemara tells the story, the woman came to the Beis Medrash and she complained, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this to her? Why did her husband die? So they asked her, was your husband a doctor in Taras HaMestrosis? So she says, absolutely. He wouldn't look at me, he wouldn't touch me, he wouldn't look at me. The Mekamas HaMestrosis Shibibifa, Afila Be'etzatana, he wouldn't look. Shalali Hanas Mimena. And then they asked her, was he medakte during the whole period of Hilchas Nida, even the Mei Libuna, even when she was in the later days, when she was counting the Shivinikim? So she said, no, at that time he was a little bit makel in these prohibitions. What was the husband makel? So the Tosis quotes to Rabbi Natama and that daf, that Mi'ikra Din Deraita, last week we start off with this, Mi'ikra Din Deraita, there's a difference between a Nida and a Zova. So if a woman is a Nida, the dam comes, the Esni Dosa, normal time, the 18 days, not in the special 11 days, Yudalakim should they need the Lanita that the woman can become a Zogar. If the Dam comes, the 18 days, so then you don't need Shiva Nikiyim. You just count, let's say, the Isha starts at Yer Zam on Sunday, the Dam goes for 6.5 days, till Shabbat afternoon. As long as she makes the Hefzik Tara, Shabbat afternoon, before the Shkia, she can be Toivel on the Mikvah Matoi Shabbat. But because there's so many different opinions in the Gemara and the Rishonim exactly when a woman has the status of Nida, when a woman has the status of a Zogar, so the Gemara says that sometimes the Tanoim were machmir with the Rabbanon, and on some occasions it's not a gzeirah from the Tanoim, from Rabbi Yudal Nasi, it's a chumra from the Reis Yisrael of Nehu Alatman to insist on requiring the Shiva Nikim. So already the Zman HaGemara, the Zman HaTanoim, the practice was that the women would be going to mikveh way, as a chumra, they would be going to mikveh way after the Zman Deraisa. The Zman Deraisa would be a few days earlier, and the Rabbanon, because of the Takana of Rebbe, Rabbi Ranasi's Takana, the women would be going to mikveh later. So many Tanaim are of the opinion that Tfilah is Mana Mitzvah, so in order to explain, in order to satisfy that view that Tfilah is Mana Mitzvah, the practice used to be, as the Rabbi Natan is reconstructing Shas and Yigamah, the practice used to be that the women went to mikveh twice. They went to mikveh once after the Zman Deraisa was up, so on the level of Deraisa she's really Meteris Rabbaimah, and then she would go to mikveh a second time after the Chumer Rabbanon was up. But that's what they asked this woman whose husband died at a young age. What about the Mei Ligunach? What about after she already went to mikveh for the first time? She didn't go to mikveh for the second time, so on the level of Deraisa she was no longer a Nida. It was only a Chumer Rabbanon that she's treated as a Zogar. She has to be stay away from her husband. What's at that time? So she said, no, at that time her husband was makel a little bit on some of the traditions. So the Gemara has such a sharp lush, and they say, Baruch HaMachin Shaharoged, blessed be the Lord, that he killed him at such a young age. He was over on the Din de Rabbanan. But all the Dinim of Hakokis apply not only when the woman is a Nida de Reis, even when the woman is a Nida de Rabbanan. So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that all of the Hakokis apply not only at the time when the Dam is coming out, even during the Shiva Nikim, Bayat is not Kiddush. During the Shiva Nikiyim, there's no difference because we don't have the practice anymore to go to mikveh twice. There's no habanit to think that anything should become more lenient, more kal. But even the Zman HaTanoim, that was the practice, the Rabbi Natan claims, that he used to go to mikveh twice. Still, even in such a case, there's still all of the hakokas still apply. The Gemara has another prohibition, another hakaki. These are all hakakas that only apply to married couples. It doesn't even apply to a single. Let's say people are out on a date. There's a risa that the girl is not allowed to put food in front of the boy. And the girl is not allowed to pour the drink in front of the boy. None of these things apply. Moshe Feinstein writes truly about this. He says, strictly speaking, the prohibitions don't apply. And then he recommends whether one should, which ones one should be machmer about and which ones not. So another one of the dinim the Gemara has is one of the hakotis mentioned in the Gemara is that the husband is not permitted to eat the leftover shiurekos sheshososo. He's not permitted to drink the leftover mashke that his wife drank if she is in need at this time. Unless he pours it into a different cup, or in Shulchan Aruch they have you not allowed to eat Michael she'ochlo. Let's say his wife ate a little food and she left over part of the food. So Moshe Feinstein writes in his paper, let's say there's a big tray, a serving tray, and there are 20 pieces of chicken. So the wife took first, so she took a piece of chicken. So you don't say the other 19 pieces, Chassidus she'rei, but that would be called shirai. But over here at Shulchan Aruch, Moshe says, it's not called shiurei Michael she'ochlo. That's not called shirai. It wasn't intended that she should eat all 20 pieces. Each is one to a customer. You want to have two, he's going to have. But the others are not for her in the first place. It means if she had a piece of chicken, a piece of kugel on her plate, and she ate half of it, and she left over part of it. But that's good. You're a Michael Shochlo, so the husband is not allowed to eat the leftover unless he switches it to another plate. Am I sure right? And the Shulchan Aruch only says if you switch to another cup. But you're a Mashke Shishosa, so it says if you pour the Mashke to another cup, then the prohibition doesn't apply. Am I sure assumes, Moshe assumes that the same applies with respect to Michael as well. If the leftover Michael is on the same plate that the wife ate it on, she's in need of it, and the husband is not permitted to eat the leftovers. But once he switches to another plate, then it would be permissible. Or Tosis quotes in Subis in the name of Rashi, this was already a later chumash, this doesn't appear in the Gemara, that Rashi had the following practice, and this is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, that the Manshi Ishtan Nido, they shouldn't hand things to each other. Let's say they hand the key one to the other, or they hand anything, they hand the package, one should hand over something to Ishta Nida, is not permissible. This is a later hakoki. Again, it doesn't appear in the Gemara, this is what Rashi added on. There in Shulchan Aruch there's a discussion, different minhagim, what if a husband is not going to hand it directly, what if he's going to throw it? He's going to throw it in the air, and she's going to catch it. Let's say they're playing tennis or something, he's going to throw the keys. So most amachma that even this work is also not proper. That handing over a baby, so the Achareinim have two minhagim. Not going to throw the baby in the air. The question is, what about to hand the baby over? So some Achareinim say that the minig, the chumra of Rashi, doesn't apply to handing over babies because Achayna Teatatma. A very strange expression. Achayna Teatatma is a din in Hilchos Shabbos. That if a person carries, it doesn't apply to babies. If a person carries another human being who's able to walk on his own, there's no prohibition of Haitzor on Shabbos. What has it got to do over here? It doesn't apply to babies. What has it got to do over here by Hilchos Nida? It must be a melitza of some sort. But I think most assume that that's a minig of Rashi, Shalala Hosh, Zelazen, not to hand to each other, applies by Ashkenazim. They follow these minhag. I don't know if Spartan have the same minhag, but Ashkenazim have these minhag. Not to hand to each other, and not even to hand the baby to each other. Of course, if you have a shat hachak, the baby's sick or the baby's crying, so you have no brayer. If you have no brayer, you have no brayer. But under normal circumstances, you can put the baby down on the bed, or put the baby down on the table or something, so the minute is not to hand them over one to the other. So some of these are we mentioned kiruv basar, the actual ether itself is tashnis. And then we have the ether of kiruv basar derech hibo, which is prohibited either in Torah or the Rabbanan. And then you have this whole series of hafakas, which the Chachamim prohibited. These are clearly not the Surim Deraita, so these are Surim Derabbanan that appear in Mishnayis and in Gemaris. And then Rashi Ardan Shalala Hoshitzelah, that these are all hafakas. And all of these hafakas are special miyukha, they only apply by Nido. It doesn't apply by an Eshitis, it doesn't apply by the other Arai, it doesn't apply with an aunt and a nephew and so on. These are special because there's a Hefe Yichud. By Ishtay Nido, so the Chachamim felt they had to balance it off, it introduced a few more hakokis and siyogim. One of the many siyogim that's mentioned in the Gemara is that they're not permitted to attack that Gemara by the time the Chachamim died at a young age in the first period of Masech HaShabbos. So the Gemara says that it's forbidden for the husband with the wife Ishtay Nido, they're not permitted to sleep in the same bed. Even though who predicted that he did dig that, even though each one is wearing their own pajamas, and even though they're sleeping on two sides of the big giant bed, even though they're sleeping on two sides of the bed, they're not even touching each other, still this is forbidden. The Gemara says, just like by an Ashes Ish, one is not permitted to sleep in the same bed with someone else's wife, even though who predicted that he did dig that. So the same thing with one's own wife, even though two predicted that he did dig that, if it's beneath our head. Then the Shulchan Aruch heads on, that even if they're sleeping in two different beds, if the two beds, if they have mitzvahs on no bezu bezu, the two beds are touching each other, it's also forbidden. And there's a long discussion in the Achrayim, a detailed discussion, different opinions exactly how far this goes. Different views. So when a couple is interested in buying a bedroom set, they should go through these deals in advance. It's very unfortunate that a lot of young couples who get married are not familiar with these halachos. They know they're dinim of nidah. They know everything that we spoke about last week. The dikush and the kiyum, the tefillah, the hatzitz and everything. But they're not so keen. They're not familiar with these dinim of halachos. So once a person gets married and he's not observing these halachos, then later on in life it's very hard to pick these up. So it's important we have to encourage our children who are getting married that they should go through the din above the hachokas in advance. They should set up their marriage from day number one in the proper fashion. In addition to all of these hachokas, all of the din above Tira Boston, the din above hachokas, some of their rishis, some of their rabbanon, we have another din, which the Gemara seems to learn out from a pasuk, that he's zaitim is b'nei son mitzumasam. The din of prisha, that a husband is not permitted to be with his wife during the oynes haveres. Now what exactly does that mean? The husband is not permitted to be with his wife. How do you translate to be with his wife? So there is a machlokes. On Shulchan Aruch we assume that to be with his wife only goes on tashmish mam, that kira basa would be permissible. The Shach quotes in the name of the Bach that since there are those who are of the opinion, the Rambam's opinion was, and Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer who seems to pass like the Rambam, that kira basa constitutes an Isa deraita. Kira basa means shalom agape, shalom anashik, not the hug, not the kiss, and so on. That would constitute an Isa deraita. Not shalom ahosh, not to eat shiuri, mindful, these are already hakokas de rabbanon. Not to serve the wine, not to serve the food in front of the husband, so on. These are only hakokas de rabbanon. But the kira basa, that's an Isa deraita by Ishla Nido, so the Shach quotes in the name of the Bach, that perhaps one should be machmer on that as well during the Oynes HaVeses. But strictly speaking, in the Shulchan Aruch it doesn't say like that. Shulchan Aruch says that during the Zman of Oynes HaVeses, the only thing that's prohibited is to be with the wife, the actual Tashmish itself, and the Kira Bosa would be permissible. And this is recommended as a Minas Chasinus. If a person feels that he can observe this, if it's possible, so this is a recommendation. What exactly is the din of Prisha Oynes HaVeses? When is Oynes HaVeses? So if the Isha is an Isha, she Yesh Lo Veses, if the woman has a Veses Kavua, so then it's on the Oynes HaVeses. Now, Bizman HaGemara, it would appear, pretty clear from the Gemara, that the Tanoim were of the opinion, the Tanoim and Amoraim were all of the opinion that the majority of the women, Rov HaNoshin, had a Veses Kavua. In fact, there's even the opinion of one Tan in the end of the first Perek in Maseches Nida that an Isha Shein Lo Veses Kavua is not allowed to get married because she's going to be with her husband and she'll be cursed and neither in the middle. So they'll both be in violation of an Isha Tart. So one time is of the opinion so much that such women, Isha Shein Leves, are not allowed to get married. As long as that's clearly not so, the majority of the women are Isha Shein Leves. In fact, the doctors say that they don't have any records. Doctors tell me they have no records that it ever was different than any other part of the world. They said they never heard of such a thing. That 2,000 years ago, the Zman HaTanaim in the Middle East, that Rov of the women had a Veses Kavua. But that's what it would appear from the Gemara. Anyway, so what exactly is a Veses Kavua? What is a Veses Kavua? There are three types of Veses Kavua. And you have all kinds of combinations. So one Veses Kavua, the normal Veses Kavua is a Haflaga. A Veses Kavua, Haflaga means like this. Let's say a woman begins to have her period every 35 days, every 45 days, every 75 days, whatever. Every 90 days, whatever the case happens to be. So if this happens three times in a row, means that you have four riyas. So the second riya was the fourth riya was 65 days after the third, the third riya was 65 days after the second, the second was 65 days after the first. So if it happens three times in a row the same haplogah, and you have four riyas with three haplogahs that are the same, but that constitutes as esses kavua. That's called a esses lahaplogah. Haplogah means an interval. What do you mean 65 days between the first and the second? 65 days in between the second and the third, and in between the third and the fourth? What do you mean 65 days in between? So the Baal HaTanya is of the opinion that 65 days in between means when did the first period end? Let's say the first Riyaz Dam took 4 days. So if the end, the last Riyaz Dam was over, so you go from the end of the first Riyaz to the beginning of the next Riyaz, 65 days later. Then you go from the end of the second Riyaz to the beginning of the next Riyaz. Then you go from the end of that Riyaz to the end of the third Riyaz to the beginning of the fourth Riyaz. This is not the generally accepted opinion. I assume the Baba should follow that opinion. But this is not the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says we always consider just the Tchilas HaRiyah. If it was 65 days, whatever number of days, 35 days, 40 days, whatever, 25 days, it always goes from the beginning. You always count the first day of the Riyah. You ignore how long the Riyah took, whether the Riyah took 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, doesn't make a difference. You always go from the beginning of the Riyah to the beginning of the Riyah to the beginning of the Riyah to the beginning of the Riyah. You always go from the first day. Now in the Shulchan Aruch, it says based on the Gemara, that let's say between the beginning of the first year, the beginning of the second year is let's say 35 days, from the beginning of the second to the beginning of the third. 35 days, beginning of the third, beginning of the fourth, and divide to 35 days. So you have three haplogas in a row, each one of 35. So that establishes that this is the Tavu'a haplog of 35 days. So the Shulchan Aruch says based on the Gemara that this is only provided that all of the four years occurred in the same Ona. Ona means either Yom or Laila, in the same part of the day. If all the four Riyas occurred in the daytime, so then you have established that this is Kabul. But let's say half of them occurred in the daytime, half of them occurred in the nighttime. Even though it's all peeped in the same day on the Yiddish Aliyah, it's the same day. So it is a haplog of 35 days, and that's 35 days and 35 days. But it's not the same Ona of the Yom. It's not the same Yom or the same Laila. So that does not constitute that this is Kabul. Now the Pesach Shubah quotes from the Shoel in the Nodi Yehuda, the South Jewish Nodi Yehuda, that some of the people who asked him Shilas were great Goinim, and some of them were Balabatim. So sometimes the Shoel in Nodi Yehuda has a solid Taina. Sometimes we pass him like the Shoel. Most of the time we pass him like the Nodi Yehuda, who wrote the Shubah. So there's a serious Shoel in Nodi Yehuda that runs as follows. There's off that the Haplogah has to be 35 days, 35 days, 35 days. You have 4 years. And each year, from the beginning of the first year, from the beginning of the second, 35 days, from the beginning of the second, 35 days, so on. And each one was bayom, the same oinos. There's look that the haplogos has to be 35 days. Why don't we say that it's 70 onos? Say it differently, 70 onos. So in the mailer, maybe you can have a haplogos of 71 onos. You can have a haplogos of 71 onos. So the first month, the first year will be bayom. The next month, the year will be balayla. The third month, the year will be bayom. The fourth month, the year will be balayla. And it's a haplogah, not a haplogah of yamin, not a haplogah of yamin. There's up the halacha of the Mishnah has to be a haplogah of yamin for 35 days. Maybe it's a haplogah. He's working with onos. The Gemara says in the Shulchan Aruch it goes with onos, the day period of the day and the nighttime period of the day. So maybe it goes with onos. So even though the Shoel had a dvar chachma, the accepted opinion is not so. He followed the view of the Nodi Yehuda. That is just not so. That's how the Pesach Shuvah writes, that's how the Yisrael Moshe writes, that's how the Feinstein writes. We pass on Allah that it goes by Yomim. You have to have a haplog of equidistant days. You have to go with 34 days, 36 days, 37 days, whatever it is. And each Riyah on each one of these days has to be in the same Aina. And even though you can discern a pattern over here, it's 73 Ainas or 75 Ainas. Every time it's 75 Ainas away from each other. Except that because it's an odd number of Ainas, it keeps on switching day, night, day, night, day, night. So we pass to Allah that does not constitute a versus lahaflog. Okay, that's the way we pass. So this is called a versus lahaflog. A versus lahaflog can be established if you had three haflogas in a row. A versus tavua. A versus tavua means if you had four consecutive years, and the haflog between the first and the second, between the second and the third, between the third and the fourth, was equidistant, and each one was on the same owner, either bayom or balayla, the same owner. That would constitute a versus tavua. Then there's another kind of a versus tavua. That says liyom hachodesh. Every month the woman has a riyah on the 10th day of the month. Every month the woman has a riyah on the 20th day of the month, or something like that. Of course, the month that we're working with is the Yiddish Shavuah, not the Goyish Shavuah. And here there's a question: the Yiddish Shavuah, Yusha Luach usually corresponds, but not 100%, usually corresponds to the Moilad Halavonah. The secular calendar just doesn't correspond to anything living at that. So we don't follow the secular calendar. But the Yiddish Luach normally corresponds, the Shredish corresponds to the Moilad Halavonah. And the Moilad Halavonah may have some effect, has an effect on the whole world. It may have an effect on the system, on the cycle, causing dam. But the question is, what if a Shredish doesn't correspond to the day of the Moilad Halavonah? So do you say that if a woman has a Vesus Kavua, the Yom HaChodesh is the 10th day of the month, that means the 10th day of the Luach, the way it's printed in the calendar? It doesn't mean the 10th day after the Moilad Halavonah. So this was a machlokes in the Rishonim. The minority opinion was that you go according to science, you go according to when the Moilad Halavonah was, and that opinion was not accepted in Shulchan Shach as a discussion, and it quotes from the Mishmeres Habayis. The Rashbon, the Taras Habayis, is the one who writes that it doesn't make a difference whether the Chodesh Moleh, Chodesh Koster, whether the Moilad, whether the Chodesh was on the Moilad Halavonah, whether the day after the Moilad Halavonah, the day before the Moilad Halavonah, doesn't make a difference. And the Ra'or, Baron Alevi, and the Benek Habayis argues it doesn't make any sense, but it's supposed to correspond to something in reality. And the Mishneres Habayis on the side comes to defend the Rashbon, the Taras Habayis, he says no. He quotes the famous comment of Yishalmi commenting on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Lokel Doimer Olai HaKadosh Baruch Hu, follows the Pesach of the Bezin. If the Bezin declares that this day is Rosh Chodesh, that makes that day as Rosh Chodesh, and that will regulate certain aspects of Teva. Whatever Yonim of Matthias, whatever Yonim of biology depend on when Rosh Chodesh is, will be changed according to the Pesach of the Bezin to determine when Rosh Chodesh is. And that's the accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch, that when a person has a Vesus Limei HaKodesh, it's number one determined by the Yiddish Luach, not by the Yiddish Luach, and number two, it's determined by the day of the Yiddish Luach, what day it is, on the calendar, let's say Pesach would be on the 15th of Nisan, we don't care whether it's Chodesh Nisan was at the day of the Moilad Halavonah, the day after the Moilad Halavonah, doesn't make a difference, I'll see then when the day is. So to over here, it would depend. The Vesus, the Yom HaKodesh, depends what day of the Chodesh it is, according to the dinim of the Luach. Then the Shulchan Aruch has, based on the Gemara, there's a third type of a Vesus that's not really totally at all in Haflogis, it's not really totally at all in what Yom HaKodesh is, it's totally in Mikrim Shebegut. For example, a woman has pains in her abdomen, always excruciating pain. A woman has a bellyache. The people have bellyache at different times of the year. They ate some food that gave them an upset stomach. But if the woman has serious pain, and then she always groans, oh, three times in a row, every time she has that pain, 3 days later she has a reason. A woman has a belching spell. People belch once in a time, once in a while. That means a belching spell, several times, or a yawning spell. Sometimes people are tired, so men and women and children, everybody yawns. But if a person has a yawning spell, and 3 times in a row, 3 months in a row, right after the yawning spell, a day or two later, the dam comes out. So that's considered a vesus kavua, the vesus kavua, the mikri agur. If a woman, let's say, every time she plays tennis or every time she goes bicycling, she has a real zam, so we say in Shulchan Aruch that does not constitute a vesus kavua. Just because they do a certain activity, that doesn't make a vesus kavua. But this is a vesus kavua because it's something that happens from the body itself. But then in the Shulchan Aruch there's the question, what if the Isha has a vesus kavua? Isha has a vesus kavua. Every time she eats sharp food, every time she eats mustard or salami or something like that, So she has a real zam soon afterwards. Is that considered like bicycling, like playing tennis, exercising? So that doesn't count as a vessel. So they say no. That's like nikri agur. It's not some exertion. It's not that she exerted herself that caused the real zam. It's that this kind of food causes some change in the body and the system, and it causes the zam to come out. So that's a machlokes. There are more quotes, the two opinions in cases. That's a machlokes. So these are basically the three. Generally speaking, the three types of vesos. You have a vesos, you can have a vesos kavua 3 times in a row. Lahaplogas, that's the most normal vesos kavua. For those who have a vesos kavua, most Russians today do not have a vesos kavua. And we pass in Laloha that one is permitted to marry. There's one opinion in Tanan, one is not permitted to marry, neither Shane Lavesis. But that opinion has not been accepted. That's at the end of the first parish and neither. We pass in one is permitted to marry, neither Shane Lavesis. But to establish what is the Yom HaPrisha, so you have to know what is the vesos kavua. that the normal kind of essence tavu is laflogus, laflogus shavos. Then the next kind of essence tavu is liyama. So the next kind is the mikri hagut, things that happen, yawning or belching or something like that, or pains in different parts of the body or the throat. The woman always feels a certain sense of a very faint, a specific type of faintness that takes over the whole body or something like that. And then soon after, a day or two after, she has the riyazam, so that constitutes, those would be considered a versus tavua. Then you have shulchan aruch, all kinds of salon, sim, and all kinds of combinations of bicycling together with a yom ha'chodesh. So you have a long discussion. So now, if an isha has a versus tavua, so when that day comes, let's say an isha for the last 3 months in a row, she had pains in the abdomen, and then the third day after the pain, the dam began. So this month is the fourth month, so she has again the same pains in the abdomen, so the first 2 days is okay. The last 3 months it didn't happen. So now, on the third day after this pain in the abdomen, that's when the dam should come. So on that onam, whatever it happens to be, either by Yom or Balayla, whatever happens 3 times in a row, either by Yom or Balayla, so when that happens again now, so that would be considered the onas haveses, so there's a din of prisha on that day. Even though, let's say, the dam always came late in the day, so maybe it could be muta lov oleha in the beginning of the day, or the dam always comes late at night at 4 o'clock in the morning. So she muta lov oleha in the beginning of the night. So isha has a esus kavua liyamim olashos. Always at that time of the day, a certain hour in the day. So nonetheless, the Mishnah says the machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah, and we pass in aloha that the whole oino, the whole 12-hour period, is a din of prisha. The prisha being that also lavu aleha, and the shach recommends as a midas chasidus, even kiruvot also one should abstain from. This is only in the case where you had a versus tavua. Yeah. If a woman had a versus tavua, and then we have this din of prisha on the yom haveses, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes based on the Gemara, based on the Rishonim, that what if the whole yom haveses passed by and the isha didn't? She doesn't think that she had any dam. She didn't experience any dam. She didn't make a bedikah one way or the other. But the isha had it. That's his kavua. Then we are machmer to say that she's not permitted to be with her husband until she make a bedikah afterwards. She's asura a lover in bailo until she has a bedikah. In the Shulchan Aruch, the opinion is quoted of one of the rishonim, the Ravon, that he had a girsa migamar which we do not have. He had a different girsa migamar. That not only is there a fee of prisha on the onus haveses, let's say the isha has a riyazam every 35 days. So we have established that this night, every 35 days of night, let's say, we have established that this night is the onus haveses, balayla. So not the yoda before, not the yoda after, not the day before, not the day after. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. So the Ravon must have had a different gift from the Gemara. He says, not only is it also lavu aleha during the onus haprisha, even the onus hasmucha onus haveses, the day before, let's say, either if the Einus HaPrisha is Balayla, so the unit of the daytime before the Laila is also a Din HaPrisha. Or if the Einus HaVeses is Bayom, so the Laila before the Yom is also Lo Lo Vo Lo, is also a Din HaPrisha. This is an opinion that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, the Shach, and the Achroinim, and everyone is machmas with this. Everyone until recent years, there was a great Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael by the name of Rabbi Talmud Kahana, one of the big leaders of the Shmita in Eretz Yisrael. So he put out a statement on Hilchos Shmita. So he left out this din. He left out the din of the Einas Smoke of Einas Apishas. So they attacked him. Are you talking? Why did you leave out the din? So he said the Chazanish told him to leave it out. So the people didn't believe that it's true. What did the Chazanish say? So he printed the facsimile of the Chazanish in handwriting, which is very hard to force. Chazanish had a unique style Hebrew, and had a unique style handwriting. So he printed the facsimile here, and Chazanish told him to leave out the din. He said, we don't really talk along that. He said, the Ravon had a different gear from the Gemara, not Matthias, but the first shot of your sword. So this is a question. Again, traditionally, classically, the way it says in the Shach defends the Ravon, the Shach asks against the Gemara. So the Shach has a long, difficult Shach, and he defends the Ravon's opinion. And Rabbi Kivega on the bottom of the page chapters the Shach a little bit. He didn't sufficiently defend the Ravon. So the Shach and the Chasam Seif and the Tzitzit Shuvah quotes Allah Kren, traditionally for many centuries this has been the practice to be Choshish this Ravona. Not only is there a din of Krisha and Oinus HaVeses, either the Yom or the Laila that we have established as the Oinus HaVeses, even Oinus HaSmuch or Oinus HaVeses, the Oinus preceding, also wasn't. In other words, 24 hours, not just for the Yom or the Laila. And the Chazon Ish saw that one is not mechuyav to be machmir for this. The Midas Chasidus, but he felt that one is not mechuyav to be machmir for this, and perhaps he told Kamakana to leave it out from his sefer, because it's a different gerush. And all the Rishonim that we have do not have that gerush. Now, so far we have just discussed the din of an Isha Shi'esh Lo Besis Kavua, which was not as rare. Perhaps the Zman HaTanayim, that was the majority of the women had a Yesh Lo Besis. That's how the Rambam understood from the Gemara, that's clear from the Gemara, but the Zman HaZeh, that's not the case. What about an Isha She'ein Lo Besis? So the Tanoim have, the Gemara points out in Maseches Nida, the Mishnais and the Brises have the din of a Besis She'ein Lo Kavua. It's a little bit of contradiction in terms of a Besis She'ein Lo Kavua. Besis means that it's Kavua. So we have a Chumran of a Besis She'ein Lo Kavua, that Yechosh is Pamachas. What it means is that an Isha has a Besis Kavua, in order to establish a Besis Kavua, there's a Machlokes HaTanoim, we pass them that it has to be established by 3 times in a row. So in order to be okay that that's his kavua, if it's 3 times in a row that it came, the rear came on a different day of the month, or the rear came in a different half logger, so then you can be okay that that's his kavua. But the Gemara says, the Tanoim say that such a thing as a Vesa Shena Kavua, that it's Nikva B'Pamachas, and it's Nekva B'Pamachas. It means like this, let's say, Rob Noshim is Manazah, or Eim Lohem Vesa Kavua. But the woman had a rear last month. So whatever Yom Achod is, the woman had a rear. The woman had a rear on Tezvah of Tevis. So this month, Tu B'Shvat, on Shabbos, was Tu B'Shvat. So whatever, either the rear was Balayla on Tezvah Tevis, or the rear was Bayom. So whatever the owner was, that the rear was last month, either Bayom or Balayla. So this month, on Tu B'Shvat, either Bayom or Balayla, there's a Chiyuv Prisha and that owner, and according to most of the Achronim in the Shulchan Aruch, even the owner before, the owner Smucha Linus Abesis, for a 24-hour period. And according to the Chazon Ish, not Mukhiyav to be Choshish for that, just the owner's Prisha itself. So that woman would have to be Choshish for that Pamachas. But we don't know, is this going to turn out to be the Vesus Kavua? The reason why you Choshish Pamachas is it may turn out that that will be the Vesus Kavua. If it comes out this month that the Riyah was not on Tu B'Shvat, comes out it was either earlier or later, so you forget about it. The next month, you just have to be Choshish for that Yom HaFodesh on which the Riyah took place this month. The next month you Choshish for that Yom HaFodesh. But there must have been a Hachloga Achreina. There must have been an interval from the time that she had next to the last Riyah to the time that she had the last Riyah from Kislev till Tevez. There was a Hachloga, or from Cheshvan, whatever. May have been 60 days, maybe 90 days, maybe been a half a year, whatever. Women have different kinds of haflog. So whatever the haflog achayim was, you have to be choshish now. Maybe the Riyah will be at the same interval, the same as the Haflog Achreina, whatever the last Haflog Achreina was. And then, in addition, there is a din of Oina Beinonis, the average Oina, the average Vesus. What exactly is the average Vesus? So, in Shulchan Aruch, it's presented as if this is the third kind of a Vesus. It's a Vesus Liyom HaChodesh. You have to be Choshish, and Isha Shem HaVesus has to be Choshish for the Yom HaChodesh of the last month. Then you have to be choshish for the haflog achrona, whatever that was. Then you have to be choshish for a third thing, namely the yona benin is whatever is the average haflog. What is the average haflog? So the shach quotes, this is a machlokes achronim, is this haflog as lamed or haflog as lamed aleph? Just to keep in mind, in the Shulchan Aruch, when they talk about an interval, haflog as lamed, haflog as lamed aleph, they're not counting, they're not speaking the way we do. They're speaking, including the day on which the first riyah began, and including the day which the second riyah began. Let's say there would be a 32-day cycle. In America, we would call that 32-day cycle, so in the Shulchan Aruch, that would be called the Haflog Islamic Gimel. Because you're including the day on which the first riyah began, the day on which the second riyah began. By us, we wouldn't, in common language, we wouldn't call that a 33-day cycle. We'd call it a 32-day cycle. Every month is 32 days, and the next day, the riyah is going to be on the next day. That's the question of semantics. No, not Kamina Lalach, but you should keep this in mind. For those of you who read the Tshuvas of Moshe Feinstein talks in the Tshuvas the way Americans do. He doesn't talk the language of the Yerideya. So sometimes it's a little confusing. If your head is screwed on thinking the way the Shulchan Aruch talks, You start reading the English Moshe, you won't know what he's talking about. You have to keep going. Moshe's talking American language. But then you have an interval. He doesn't include the day of the first day of the next year and the first day of the first year. He's only talking the way we talk in America, the first day of the first year, up until the day before the next year, not including the next day. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Shach presents that there are two opinions. What is the Yonah Beinonis? Because the Yonah Beinonis is the Haflogas Lamed, which we would call a 29-day interval, 29-day cycle, or Haflogas Lamed Aleph, which in America we would call a 30-day cycle. Haflogas Lamed Aleph, including the first day of the first year and the third day of the next year. So that's why the Chachma Sodom recommend. Now, one of these days is going to be the Yom HaChodesh. In the Jewish calendar, the month either had 29 days or 30 days. But the previous month had 29 days, the Haflogas Lamed is going to be the 29-day cycle. If the previous month had 30 days, the Haflogas Lamed Aleph is going to be the Yom HaChodesh. So one of these 2 days is going to be the Yom HaChodesh. So the Chachma Sodom recommends, not everybody is a Mitzvah, but the Litvak is they follow always the Hayyadim and the Chachma Sodom. That's like the final word. And so recently, now they follow on Aruch Hayim, a lot of the Litvak follow the Mishnah Berurah. Because all of the big Rosh Yeshiva after the war, everybody was killed. So all the big Rosh Yeshiva that we learned by, they all learned in Radin. Everybody had a Shaitan with the Pesach time. So in Aruch Hayim, everybody follows the Mishnah Berurah pretty often. But in Yerideya, where there's no Mishnah Berurah, so the Litvak always follow the Chachma Sodom. So the Chachma Sodom recommends that one should be focused for both. Aflog Islam and Aflog Islam and Aleph. Just adding on one more day. That's all. Because one of the two is always going to be the Yom HaChodesh. You have to be Chodesh for the Yom HaChodesh, you have to be Chodesh for the Aflog HaKreina, and then the Chachma Sodom recommends to be Chodesh for both Oina Beinonis, either by Yom or by Laila, whatever it happens to be. That Oina on which the Riyah occurred last month, the Oina Beinonis is what we call the Oina Beinonis. Now the Shach denies that there is such a thing as Oina Beinonis. He says there is no such thing. He says Oina Beinonis is exactly the same as the Yom HaChodesh. It's neither Haflogas Lamed nor Haflogas Lamed Aleph. He denies the whole thing. So there are those who follow the Shah. But others don't. Others say that no, that there are three different things. There's Haflog Achreina, and then there's Yom HaChodesh, and then there's Oina Beinonis, which is considered the average Haflog. This is a bit of a problem for us in America, because the doctors say that the average Haflog, whatever it was in the days of the Tanoim in the Middle East in Eretz Yisrael 2,000 years ago, whatever it was, why does that affect us? The doctors say that today the average Haflog is 28 days. And it should be what we would call a Haflog of Tafset, which is not any, either of the choices that were given in the Gemara. So that's a question. Maybe we should change. Maybe the Rabbanim should get together. That's a good idea. The Rabbanim should get together. Not maybe. Number one, the Rabbanim should get together. Now, number two, maybe the Rabbanim should get together and discuss this issue. Also on the agenda, we have a lot of other issues. They're so busy with all the other issues that we have no time for this. Maybe we should get together and change this in. If you're worried about annoying the Beinonis, what's the average vessel? So if the doctor says, they should take the reader's digest. The doctors say that the average Haflog in the Western world today is a Haflogas Tafset, which is a 28-day cycle. So maybe this is from the dinim that don't change, maybe it's from the dinim that do change. Maybe it depends. If the Chazal used the expression on the Beinonis, maybe it depends on which country you live in. So this is a question. But Lamaisa, these are the different opinions. Now in the Shulchan Aruch it says, let's say the woman has Ein lo vesis kavua. The Ishish Ein lo vesis kavua, so she's kosher for these two or three things, for the Haflog HaKreina and for the Yom HaChodesh of the last month, and point to the Shach, that's all there is. There's no more left. And according to many other posts, we have to be kosher for the Oina Beinonis, which may be Haflog Islam and Haflog Islam and Aleph, and the Pasuk Mishnah recommends one should be kosher for both. So let's say the Yom HaKrisha comes and goes, this Vesis Shein HaGavua comes and goes, and the Isha doesn't know if there was any doubt. Ishimukhuyiv could be Baidik, you see if there is Dam. So Shulchanach says Nishimukhuyiv, unless it's the Oina Beinonis. If it's the Oina Beinonis, since that's the average Oina, that's the way it's normal, that's the average Vesas, Haflogo, so that you have to be Choshish to make a B'dik on that day. And even if the Isha didn't make a B'dik on that day on which the Riyah was to be expected, she's up to the Shamash and Baila after the day passes until she'll make a B'dik. Just like an Isha, Sheishla Vesas Kavua. Those women have a Vesis Kavua, are not permitted to be with their husbands after the Yom HaVesis passed by until they make a B'dikah. So too, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, that the Oina Beinonis is considered also has a Hashivus like a Vesis Kavua with respect to this one aspect, that rishis are still aliyas and bailo until she makes a bedik after Yom HaVeses Peres Bar. In the Gemara, in the end of the first perek in Nidah, there is a whole discussion of a rare condition which once in a long while comes up, once in a yovel comes up, but it does come up. You had a boy in yeshiva, had to get divorced because of this. It's the case of roya dam achnas tashmish. The woman has a condition that every time they have tashmish, it causes years out. Right in this case that I'm aware of, in yeshiva, the girl's mother took some kind of medication that wasn't safe when the mother was pregnant, and the daughter was born, the girl was born with a lining that went all the way out, it went out past the cervix, out into the outside part. So every time the husband was balished, there would always be dam. So strictly speaking, that dam is not dam ani, because the dam ani means the dam from the chelak hatzogi, from the endometrial lining that comes from the bayis hapini. It goes outside. But this is mibachus. This is not dam ani. But how do you know? Every time the husband was with his wife, she had a real dam. She had to go to the hospital to go see whether the dam came from the inside, came from the outside. Then once in a while, he went to the hospital and they looked and they said that they looked inside. They said there was no dam from the inside. But after 2 years of marriage, the boy had to get divorced because what kind of life is that? Every month he's never going to know whether the dam is coming from the inside or from the outside. So the Gemara discusses a rare condition of a roya dam achnas tashmish. I don't think this is what the Gemara is talking about, where the lining goes all the way out. But it's talking about such a condition, which is very far-fetched. If that is the case, that a woman is roya dam achnas tashmish, obviously they have to get divorced. A woman is going to have tashmish. She's going to become a nida in the middle. And it turns out that they'll be in violation of Issa Taurus every time. But, so even though it's a very rare thing, some Tanoim were of the opinion that at the beginning of one's marriage, every couple has to make the bedikah to establish that the woman is not a roya dam achnas tashmish. So this is what the Mechaber quotes in Yeridah. Shulchan Aruch quotes that the first 3 times the husband is with his wife, right after they get married, and it's after, let's say the Isha Sheila Vesu. So the first time they're together, there's going to be dam b'tulim. But that's not going to prove that's neither here nor there. It doesn't demonstrate anything. And let's say the next time they're going to be together, the wife will already become a real nida. Then she'll go to the mikveh. The next time they'll be together, every woman has a minimum version. The woman never has a real dam less than 25 days. The woman has a real dam sometimes, 25 days, 35 days, 45 days, 55 days. It floats all over the place. But she has the minimum vessel. She never has less than 25 days. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Truma Kodesh, and that's called the Nisha Sheish Levesis Lachatzor. She has a half a vessel. The Reach Shalob is mana ain't a boy. The dam is not going to come within 25 days. So let's say the first time the couple gets married, they're together, it's going to be dam soon. So it's not going to show that she's a royal dam achnas tashmish. We know there's going to be dam soon. The next time they're together, it's going to be within this man that she's a Nisha Sheish Levesis. So the Gemara says the Nisha Gemara Shulchan Aruch say, Anisha Sheish Levesis does not have to be concerned about Roya Dam Achnas Tashmish. You don't have to be worried about that. She has a Vesis Kavua, there's nothing to be cautious about. But if the Isha is basically a Levesis, she just has a minimum, she never has a Riyaz Dam less than 25 days, so the next time they're together within the 25 days, next time, a few times, whatever, they're together within the 25 days, the minimum Vesis, she doesn't have to make any bedikas. The next time they'll be together, the next 3 times they're together, after the minimum amount of time is up, then the Shulchan Aruch says that the Isha should make, the husband and the wife should make the deacons before and after tashmish to establish that the woman is not a roya dam achnas tashmish, which is a very easy thing. It's the beginning of the marriage and not such a complicated thing to figure out. That's the way it says in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shach has a long dissertation on it, and he rejects this. He says that we don't pass it like that. Why did the Shulchan Aruch quote this? He has times. Why did the Rabbi Yisrael quote this? This should not be the accepted opinion. So most follow the Shach that they don't bother to make the bedikas, and others are machmir to follow what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, because of course there was such an opinion among the Tanoim. It's a different practice. Couple is married and they're blessed with a baby. Fine. So what is the din of your leder? So the Gemara says that there is a certain point before the baby is born, which is called Tzichas HaKeber. When the Beit HaRechem opens up, to a significant degree, and the baby is able to come out. So the Shtichas HaKever, the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanaim, in Krisis, and in Amida, and we assume in Shulchan Aruch, the action of Shtichas HaKever below that. We assume that even when the baby comes out, the woman becomes a Yoledes, or Yoledes is Tamei, either 7 days or 14 days, depending whether it's a baby boy or baby girl. If it's a baby boy, she's Tamei for 7 days, baby girl, she's Tamei for 14 days, even if what the Gemara calls a Lady Yevesta. Even if it's the case where there's absolutely no dam at all, there's always a bucket full of dam. Literally a bucket full of dam in the house. But even if there wouldn't be a tikkun dam at all, it would be a lady yevesh, a dry lega. Still, the Xeris Atosin says that the yoledes becomes smear. But we assume that, like those tanaim, the epshel of tikkun sekever below dam. Most likely, most probably, there will be a little dam coming out, even if you didn't notice it at the time of tikkun sekever. Now, when is it considered tikkun sekever? That's the question. For some machmir, that when the water breaks, the woman is already considered a leader. Strictly speaking, it's not necessarily so. This is a chumrah. The Isha knows that dam came out, but then she knows that she's a leader. So the husband should observe all of the laws of leader. Let's say if they are taking these courses in natural childbirth, and the husband has to help his wife, and then the minute she becomes a leader, so he can't help his wife. So what does it help all the courses that they were taking? He's not allowed to touch his wife. Unless he's the only one that he has to deliver the baby and undermine. We're talking, we live in America. The doctors who deliver babies. You don't need the husband to help the wife deliver the baby. So the there is a period of time before the baby is born that the Isha becomes a leader. We assume that there will be at the time of Tichas HaKever that there will be at least a Tichas Dam. Now the Chumash has a breakdown between Yimei Tuma and Yimei Tahara, Yimei Tohar. Yimei Tuma for a baby boy at 7 days and Yimei Tohar at 33 days. Yimei Tuma for a baby girl is 14 days and Yimei Tohar are 66 days. What exactly does he mean? Heishes b'dimei Tohara. How do you translate that? Yimei Tohar, that's a very good tanoim, said Yimei Tohar. The Chumash doesn't say that. So this was the Raman quote, this was what if you can call it, a machlokes between the Karoim and the Masoira and the Chacham. The Karoim misinterpreted the pasuk. The Karoim said Heishes b'dimei Tohara, even if the woman has dam with Amara Tohar, she's still Asura. You're more machmir. The 33 days of the 66 days, even if the dam is only mitame, the Isha only makes a din of nida if it's Adam, and the Mishnah has only specific colors of Adam, we're marking anything that's not Admum. So the Karoyim misinterpreted the pasuk to say that if the Yoledes has dam with Amara Tohar in the 66 days of the 33 days, that we're marking that also makes the Rasul Labai. So the Raman writes that that's not because it's of course. We the Tanoim, already called it Yimei Tohar. They don't use the phrase in the Chumash Teishe, the Dimei Tohara. That may mislead you to misunderstand it. Dimei Tohara means dam with Amara Tohara. It's still Mitami. So no, we call it Dimei Tohara. Even if there's dam mamish, dam odom, the din is that that the woman is Tohara Labai. So nonetheless, even though that's what it says in the Chumash, there is a machlokes rishonim, and our practice is that we assume that this is included in the Chumrah, but as you saw, Afir al Atman, that if the Isha has dam during Yimei Tohar, during the 66 days or the 33 days, the minig is that she's Asura al-Baila. We treat as if she's a Nidim. In Atara, there is no such thing. In Nidim of the Rabbanon, there is no such thing. But that's included in the minig of an Eishi Serlach Miru al-Asma. Now, when is the woman able to go to the Bishra? So if the woman had a baby boy, she cannot go to Mikvah before the 7 days are up. If the woman had a baby girl, she can't go to Mikvah before the 14 days are up. But that's not enough. Tosfos quotes in the name of the Rabbeinu Sadi Goyim, the name of the Gaonim, and the Raivis quotes, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the name of the Goyim, that Nashi Didan, we consider all of our wives who give birth to babies as Yoldas to Zov. We consider them as if there's a Yoledes, and as if there's as if she was a Zova also. Even though Al-Pi Allah, this is really impossible, the Baal HaMor explains why this is impossible, Al-Pi Jim, we'll go into it now, but nonetheless, that's what the Gaonim stated, and that's what we practice in Shulchan Aruch. We treat all of the women who have gave birth to a baby as if the Yoldas deserve. So it's not enough that the woman had a baby girl, but she has to wait 14 days, a lama speak, but the woman had a baby boy, it's not enough just to wait 7 days and go to mitzvah. She has to wait Shivanakim also. She has to make sure she has Shivanakim. What if the woman is able to make Shivanakim in the middle of the 14 days? Let's say she had a baby girl, and she had the 6 days dam, and that's it. And then the last 7 days, or let's say she had dam for 10 days, and the last 4 days, there was no dam. So can she count the last 4 days of the 14 days of the Meitum, of Leidos Nekeva? Can she begin to count the Shiva Nikiyim in the middle of the 7 or the 14 days that he made Tumas Yoledes. So this is a famous Machlokes Abai Barov in the Gemara, and there's a Machlokes Arishanim how he passed it. Rabbi Tam is of the opinion that this is the Lamed of Yalki Gam. There are 6 cases where he passed like Abai against the Rav. Usually the Gemara says he always passed like Rav, except the 6 cases the Rosh Hashanah is Yudai Lamed Tukhim Ogren Mem, the Yalki Gam. Rabbi Tam claims that the Lamed of Yalki Gam is immediately dust to Shane Rav, and Rabbi Tam says he passed like Abai, that it's not Oyla. The series is both. Rabbi Tam is not, you have to wait till after the 14 days are up, and then begin to count the Shimoni Kim. Then the Rabbi Tam holds that that's not even sufficient, because he says we pass from like the Tzilo, there's another Machlokes HaTanoim, the Tzilo B'Shamayim, and the Mishnah said the Tzilo, I rub the opinion that the 7 or the 14 days of Yimei Tumas Yoledes are not there is a thought of 7 or 14. You have a Malos of 40 days or 80 days. A baby boy is 40 days, a baby girl is 80 days. There is a breakdown of a minimum of 7 and a minimum of 14 by a boy or a girl respectively. But the cutoff point is not when the 7 days are up, when she goes to mikveh. The Tzilo says the yomi usli l'tal yirachmanu. And let's say the woman doesn't go to mikveh until after 10 days of having a baby boy. So then we say it's 10 days and 30 days. Instead of saying that it's 7 and 33, we say it's 10 and 30. Let's say she waits 20 days to go to mikveh. It's 20 and 20. 20 days if you make tumah, 20 days if you make tovah. And the Mishnah is giving an afkaminus la'alocha, but the afkaminus in tumah v'tara about this. So we pass them like the Betilo against the Beishamah, that the Yom Yitzvila Tari Rahman. So the Rabbi Natam says that the point of the Rabbi Natam, that the din is like Abaye, that the woman cannot begin to count the Shiva Nikiyim until after the 7 days of Yoledes Arab, until after the 14 days, let's say the woman had a baby girl. So she has to wait 14 days, and then she has to go to Mikveh, and then she has to begin to count the Shiva Nikiyim. She begins to count Shiva Nikiyim until she went to the Mikveh. So that's what the Baalei HaTezus is called Shtei Tevilot. The Rabbi Natam speaks of Shtei Tevilot, and the Baalei HaTezus is right that this was the common practice. The whole Orei Tzarfat, all over France and Germany, this was the practice, like the Rabbi Natam, that the women went Shtei Tevilot. In the Shulchan Aruch, it's not quoted at all. Shulchan Aruch, we pass in against the Rabbi Natam, we pass in like Rashi, that the Lamed of Yalki Gam that we pass in like Abai is not Yimei Dos Hashem Rebbe, and it's Rabbi Lechi Vayimid Me'elot, something there in Eridan, that making an Erev around an area. And we pass them like Rava here, that the din is that Yimei Leidos Hashanah Rabahem, Arayelam Nesiris Yivot, that the woman can begin, she's permitted to count the Shiva Nikiyim if the dam stopped in the middle of the 14 days, middle of the 7 days is perfect, but it's also possible. Middle of the 7 days, middle of the 14 days, for a baby girl, for a baby boy, so whenever the dam stops, she makes a Heftikara, she has to have a minimum of 5 days, like a regular meter, minimum of 5 days. Probably going to be 5 days anyway. So there's a lot of dam coming out because of the labor. And then she makes the extra time. She makes the deeper shiva nikiyim. Sometimes she's going to be very sore. So sometimes it's hard to see. She makes 2 bedikas every day for 7 days in a row. Some of that will cause her to have too much irritation. So yeah, have to extra shiva. She makes a little bit over there and cutting down on all the 14 bedikas twice a day for 7 days. But basically, that's the way we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. But there is a leftover minhag from the old. In the old Shitas Rabbi Natan, there was a practice. The Baalei HaTezus didn't have a warm mikveh like we have today. We have warm mikvahs in Tzadok. There used to be a table in the river. There used to be a table outside, so the woman can catch the money. She just had a baby, and you tell her she has to go to mikveh twice. She has to go to mikveh after the 7 or the 14 days are up, terminate the Yimei Tumah, and then to enable her to begin counting the Shiva Nikiyim, and then she has to go to mikveh a second time after the Shiva Nikiyim are up. And after the first tefillah, it doesn't help on the level of their eyes to be mutar by little. It just helps to terminate the Yimei Tumah, to begin the Yimei Tohar, to enable her to begin counting Shiva Nikiyim. So in order to avoid catching pneumonia, so they came upon a hamtzor to save one tefillah, to cut it down to one tefillah out. If she had a baby boy, so she can wait 47 days. This is what we said, that even after 7 days are up, it's still called Yimei Tumah. The Tzilo's opinion is the Yomi Yitzvila Tali Rachmana, that Yimei Tumah not up until she goes to Mikveh. That's only within the 40 days of the Malos. So you can have a Malos is normally 7 or 33, she'll go to Mikveh after the 7 is up. Or you can have 10 and 30, you can have 20 and 20, you can have 30 and 10, or you can have 39 and 1. But after the 40 days are up, is up. That's finished. And you don't say that Yimei Tumah keep on extending Liyar Mavua until she goes to Mikveh. No. Now she's Tameya. She's a Yomega. She has a Tumah Gula. She has to go to Mikveh to be Matarit Lefada. But the Yimei Tumah are up. That's it. So if the woman will wait 47 days, or the woman, if she had a baby girl, she'll wait 87 days, is you won't have to go to mikvah once. You'll only have to go to mikvah once at the end. So there was such a practice in the days of the Balei HaTesis that they were machmir like they're up in the town. There's a Mishita in Tibetan. For all our eight sources, the Ashkenaz, they were machmir like they're up in the town to require state tzvilus. So in order to avoid the state tzvilus, the Ramah, quotes this in Shulchan Aruch, is the way to go to mikvah after your letters until 47 days, till 87 days, in order to spare themselves the requirement of going to mikvah twice. It's a sakana to go once, but they only had to go once at the end. So the Ramah writes that there was such a minute, and even though there were those who are mafakhtik on the minute, because it sounds like the Rambam is Eish Lahav against it, the Rambam says that this minute comes from the Karoim. This is from Apikurus, because they say Teshev is the Mei Tahara, even if the Dam has a Mare Tahar, he still has to abide the Karoim. What is the woman waiting 47 days for? What is she waiting 87 days for? She must be waiting, because she had some other excretion come out, which is not really a Mare Dam, brown, yellow, all kinds of different colors which are not Mekamen. That's called Dam Hayorek. Dam Hayorek doesn't mean, some professors thought that Dam Hayorek means green blood. And they stood on their heads to give an explanation, how is it biologically possible to have green blood? So Rachel was laughing, and he learned it in the Gemara. He was laughing, he said, it doesn't mean green. The Gemara Tesis explains, Yorek Kikarsi is green. Yorek alone, the word Yorek alone means brown or yellow. The Dama Yorek is very common. And Isha has a Mare, yellow or brown. And that's enough like this Hatanan. A Kavad and the Halal is in Tama. And we don't pass them like a Kavad and the Halal. The Gemara tells us, good. They offered him the job to be the chief rabbi. So back down from his position. And he said, no, he holds, he's an honest Tana. He holds that no, that Dama Yorek is a Tana. So he said, sir, you can't appoint a chief rabbi because you don't accept this. You clearly still can't live with the sheep. So the Rambam writes that this practice to wait for the Yoledis to go to Mikvah until after 47 days, until after 87 days, is rooted in the Napikursis. He says that the minute comes from the Karan, that even if there's a brown or a yellow Marin, you may Tohar, that's how they interpret it. They say, Shebet, Tohara, that Dam Tohar, a Marin Tohar, is Metame in the middle of the Yimei Tohar. He says one should not observe, you're not allowed to observe such a minute. So the Rambam says, if your community doesn't have such a minute, don't adopt such a minute. Sometimes people are looking out to adopt new chumras, new some other community. They say, don't adopt such a minik because it may be rooted in apikurus. But if your community has such a minik, so he says you shouldn't assume that it's based on karoit. You should assume that it's based on the rabbi natan. If you come from an Ashkenazi community, you should assume that it's based on the rabbi natan that you used to wait till after 47 days or 87 days. I think the minik is that nobody waits 47 days or 87 days. The minik is that nobody does stay for it. I'm pretty sure about that. Let's just say a few words about stomim. Kesem, definition of a kesem is if a woman has a riyabili hargosha, we discussed last week what it means. Stomim hatara, the woman is not tameya because she's not tameya to tumma vatara, nor she has to ulabala. In order to be considered a riyah, the riyah has to come out daman amok and has to come out the hargosha, means that the rechem is pushing it out. Some of the doctor scrapes it out or something like that, or there's some kind of an infection inside that's causing dam to come in amokar, so that's called the riyah below hargosha. But with the Rabbanah and the Mishnah, said that they instituted exera of stomim, and with the Rabbanah, the woman is asur labayla, and she is tmei as well. Now the Tanoim instituted several tulas, three different tulas in this exera of stomim. One tula is that whenever the amount of dam is pachas mishigris, a small amount of dam, then they were never machmir. They were never very good. What exactly is a gris? A gris, usually used, so Chanot is described it by using coins. The coins are probably pretty big coins, but they say the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein, but he was machmir anything larger than a dime. The dime is the smallest coin that we have. It probably should probably be much bigger than a dime, but that's what they say the Shem HaMoshe. If bigger than a dime, you should be machmir. Less than a dime, so that's considered pachas mishigris, and one should be machmir. One should ask a rav, to ask the shayla, what's considered pachas mishigris? These tulas, of course, only apply if the kesem appeared b'li hagosha. If there's a dam with hagosha, real dam with hagosha, so then after this is a dam kecharmi, there is no minimum shir. This is when the dam came out b'li hagosha. Then number two, there is a dispute among the Tanoim, and the accepted opinion is that if the kesem appears on big tzivonim, on colored clothing, on colored garments, then the chachamim will never go there on the gzera of stomim. In fact, the Rambam interprets the Gemara that if the takana chachamim bedafke to use dark colored clothing, the woman should have colored underwear and colored sheets and so on in order to avoid the problems, in order to avoid the issues of stomim. Other Rishonim don't learn that it's a takana, just an eitz taiva. You have these exivarim, so there won't be any problem. But the Rambam understood that it's more than an eitz taiva, it's a takana mi rabbanon, that the women should have these exivarim. The third school is also a machlokes hatanaim, but that's the generally accepted opinion that if the dam appears, the kesem appears on the double shade of the kabel tume, but then we passion like the tana, the mechemi, the double shade of the kabel tume, ain't in the kabel tume. The gzeres tume doesn't apply. Where do we have that? There's money. Yes, the Ramosha has two big coolers that not everybody's masking to. But I think most people in America do follow, you have to ask your local rock, you won't be asked all of your other shavuot. I think most do follow the Moshe's coolest. Number one, he says, if the Isha goes to the Beis HaKif and she uses toilet paper, so if the woman is only Mekaneach Mibachut, she's not Vedic Mibachut, she's Mekaneach Mibachut, so then that's not considered a Sophic Hazosh. If the Isha makes a Greek and Mibachut, that constitutes a Sophic Hazosh, and you wouldn't have any coolest. But it's only Kinoach Mibachut, which is usually the case. So that would be considered a kesh. And Ramosha claims, he has a whole shiva where he's explaining the source of this, that toilet paper is considered a dovah she'ein in the kabel tumah, and therefore it's ein in the kabel tumah, and even if the tefillah dam would be larger than a gear. That's an existing right to like Rosa. And then number two, Ramosha claims that synthetic material, clothing that's made from synthetic material, nylon and the like, is also ein in the kabel tumah. So therefore it's ein in the kabel tumah. As I say, not all the Tosfim agree with Ramosha, but that's a pretty popularly accepted opinion here in America. That synthetic material, according to Ramosha, is in the Kabbalah Tumah. Now, Bizman HaTanoim, it's very clear in the Gemara, Bizman HaMikdash, Bizman HaTanoim, even after the closing of Bayis, that everybody had to be neither, everybody had to be careful with respect to Tumah Vatara. Tanoim is not permitted to eat Truman is state of Truma. So when a woman became a nida, even a little girl became a nida, girl is single, so they had to advertise it to the whole neighborhood. They had to wear different dresses, they had to wear lovesha big thing and do so. All the neighbors had to know that this woman is a nida. Let's say we just had a sherry buffet, my daughter got married. So different people prepared different foods. So this aunt and the neighbors and this aunt, and cakes and cookies and everything. So anything that's prepared by anything that Elisha nida touches, the food, the clothing, the bed that she sleeps on, the pasta she's going to touch, the dishes are going to come to me, everything's going to come to me. You have Chinese dishes, you can't serve them in the mixer. So everything is going to come to me, irreversible to me. So everybody, all the children have to know. The woman, we discussed last week, there Mishum Sirach Bito. The daughter's going to know when the mother goes to mixer. How does the daughter know when the mother goes to mixer? The answer is, B'zmanatanayim, all the neighbors knew when the woman went to mixer. All the neighbors knew when anybody went to mixer. Any man is a Balkari, a Zaba, neither your letters, anything. They had to advertise to the whole world, who's son of his car. Because it wasn't a question someone wrote in his book. You see that the Tanoim believe in sex education. You don't see anything. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I don't know. But you don't see from this. They had to advertise to everybody when they're going to the mikvah. Because Kozman, they didn't go to the mikvah for whatever reason. Single, married, you can't touch anything. So the Zman HaTanoim, the Mishnah talks about a woman taking the bed into the mikvah. She tabled the bed into the mikvah. She doesn't want the bed to become so. That's quite a pain in the neck. Because the mikvah, the bed is pretty heavy. And the mikvah is only so deep, and the bed is taller than the mikvah. And you have to detable the whole bed at one time. So the problem in the Mishnah, the legs of the bed are going to be in the mud on the bottom. They didn't have tile floors. They had mud floors. So the legs of the bed are going to be in the mud at the time that the bottom of the bed is submerged under the surface of the water. When the legs are above the ground level, then the top of the bed is above the water. Take this Mishnah. The whole Mishnah before is how do you table the bed? So this is quite a tirchah. So the obvious, the Mishnah says in Nida, that the common practice was the woman had a separate bed. And she had a separate bedroom. And all the children knew, not just the husband. Everybody knew when the woman was in Nida. There's manazeh that we don't have anybody eating any truma, no one's entering the Beit HaMikdash, no one's bringing any kavanos, we have none of the above. So the whole issue of Nida is only negeh to lebaima. But that's why the Ramah says that the Zman HaZeh no over the hostel leil tfilosim, that the woman should not tell her neighbors and she shouldn't tell her children. It's none of anybody's business to know when she's materis in the Bible, when she's hostel in the Bible. It's a very personal matter. It's a very personal issue. The Gemara speaks about an institution of Dam Chimud, when a boy proposes to a girl and they set the date. So the Gemara assumes that there will be Dam Chimud, even if the girl is very young, she didn't begin to have her period yet. So the later pastors say, even if the woman is a zakena, she's already a grandmother. And her husband died 10 years ago, so and she's already 75 years old. So Rafosha said maybe there's a dam leader now, and she has to count Shidini Kiyim. Shulchanach discusses that she really needs 15 Bedikas, she needs to have to count, she needs 2 Bedikas every day. So the Shulchanach chisels down a little bit on how many Bedikas she needs if the woman is a tailor, even a younger girl also. We don't require all the 15 shilas like a regular zava, like a regular leader. But there is such an institution as Damchina. Then furthermore, the Shulchanach discusses, which used to, years ago used to be a common practice, and today it once in a while comes up. Let's say they postpone the wedding date and they set another date. Once in a while there's a big snowstorm and they postpone the date so simply no one can attend the wedding. The whole city is paralyzed, and then you have to set another date later. So sometimes you need another Shivani thing, sometimes you don't need another Shivani thing. So there are details that are discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. So if someone sees that they're going to have to postpone the date of a wedding, they better ask the Shaila in advance. In order to figure out how to avoid requiring another waiting of Shivani Kim. We always try to have a chuppah when a girl gets married. We always try to see to it that the girl should be tahora, because the Rambam, first of all, because it's uncomfortable, and secondly, because the Rambam writes that l'chatzila is prohibited. It's also to be mikdash and leader. What exactly is the source of the Rambam? Is it a gzeirah of the Rabbanan? Where did the Rambam get it from? Or is it a tradition of the writer? That's questionable, it's a little unclear, but that's what the Rambam writes. The Hatzila is also to be Mekadesh and Isha if she didn't go to the Mikvah. What happens, however, if you did have a Chuppah Sniga? So we say in Shulchan Aruch, the Chuppah Sniga is Trainer, and it's generally assumed that it's Oster to have the Yichud afterwards. There is a din in the Gemara that Ishto Nido, there's no Ishto Yichud, but Kaidim Birishaina, the Gemara says in the beginning of Sukkot Zabdab, Kaidim Birishaina, it is also to have Yichud with Ishto. So that's the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Ravid is in the Balei HaNefesh. It's not in the Hafsokas on the side of the Rambam. It's Machlokes exactly what the nature of that din is. So the Ravid's opinion is accepted in Halacha Hefer, Lachumer. The Ravid says that it's not the same as the regular prohibition of Yichud. He says here, it's only an Ishto Yichud Balayla when they're going to go to sleep. When it's Bayom, they're not planning to go to sleep, so then there's no Hashash, there's no Ishto Yichud. The point of the Ravid, if you would have a chuppah sniga, it would be permissible to have the yichud right after the chuppah, to have in the yichud room, because they're not going to sleep. The photographer is waiting. The guests are waiting. Everyone, they're not going to sleep. There's no chashashem or yovu alem. The point of the rabbi would be permissible to have yichud. That's not the generally accepted opinion. Some follow the rabbi. That's not the generally accepted opinion. Because it's for the Rambam's opinion that the yichud applies both by yom and balayla. What we do follow from the rabbi is the other half. The rabbi has a chumrah. That when Balayla or Bayom or Balayla, when we read the Nisa Yichud, so then we assume that it doesn't correspond to the regular laws of Yichud. It's a separate thing. Really, Yichud is Mutar by Yishtim, it's a separate Zerus. So you derive it right, based on the law, you have to have a double Shmir. You have to have Hu Yoshin Bein Anoshin, Yishti Yishena Bein Anoshin. So this sometimes poses quite a difficulty, quite an uncomfortable circumstance. So one should ask the Shalit, because there are different kulas. Different Rabbanim have different kulas from the Chazanish and from other Gdolim in this area. So one should ask the Shalit in advance. We didn't really cover all of the Sfida. I'll just close with one more point. There is a din in the Gemara that whenever a person is about to perform a mitzvah, the person should always recite the bracha in advance of performing the mitzvah. The Gemara says there is an exception to the rule, a ger, on his gayer, the ger is tevel in the mitzvah. So how is he going to say the bracha? Shekibishonu b'mitzvah b'sivonu ala tilo before he's tevel in the mitzvah. It's still a nothing. He can't say kibishonu b'mitzvah b'sivonu. Let's say there's goy, and now he wants the volunteer to put a mezuzah on his door. He's into hate, they want to put him in the but he can't say bracha shekibishonu b'mitzvah b'sivonu. If Anisha volunteers to shake the ruler, so we, the Ashkenazi, follow the Rabbi Tam's opinion, she is able to recite kibishonu b'mitzvah b'sivonu. So she has a kibishon control. But enough, he can't say kibishonu b'mitzvah b'sivonu. So the gear who's traveling in the mitzvah, the Shem Gaelis, cannot say the bracha in advance, but his mother says he has no choice, he has to say the bracha, tabo v'yolo. If he comes out in the mitzvah, then he says kibishonu b'mitzvah b'sivonu. So in Taisus, there are different opinions, but it just applies to every tzvila, or only to the tzvila again. Let's say a woman is tzvila in the mikvah for neither purposes. So do you say she should say the bracha over the yachon as she's about to go under the water? Are you Jewish? She can say to the shalom and tzvila in Kavanah. Should we say for some reason or another, and Taisus gives various reasons, maybe we should recommend that the women should always say the bracha la'achar as yachon. So we quote in Shulchan Aruch because of this dispute. The Shabbat recommended that the women should be tabled twice and say the bracha in between. They should be tabled once and then say the bracha and then be tabled the second time. So this is a whole discussion in the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. What has the Shalor accomplished by this? Once she was tabled the first time, so she was already tabled. So if you want to accomplish that, it's considered Revelat Yasam. If you do require Revelat Yasam, the first tefillah was good, even if there was no kavanah sahar. This is a big discussion in Achaz. But what we have discussed the last week and this week, don't assume that this is, we have covered every single detail. We have not covered even half, not even covered 10% of the deal. It's just a general outline. And I know I have 9 children, and every time I arrived at a baby, I had to go through Hilchos Nidah again, because I forgot. So 9 months of pregnancy, and then a few months of nursing every baby, you forget. These are freedom that that people tend to forget. Over the year is long, and the memory is short, as the discussion goes. So we do require Chazara and Nidah. Thank you very much.
Even if you're a third and call now, but please look like you're big at the curve of a draft of the place of Lofus here. The boys are like to be a beard or a little bit.